Tangri and Gresh. You're on the field with the president of the New England Patriots, Jonathan Kraft. Jonathan, it's great to see you.
Great to see you guys.
All right, got a little football action here, taking on the Eagles tonight. First, let's start with last week against Washington. Just give us your thoughts on the whole week and how it resulted in the game that you saw down at FedEx Field.
We thought the practices were great. We got a lot of work in. I think we used the practices when we were down there to work on a lot of schemes and a lot of situations. I think when we got to the game, Bill was really comfortable that some of the more senior guys had gotten in a lot of work already, and it was a good chance to watch some of the younger guys in a game situation go out and play. So I think we felt it was a productive week because we got a lot done in the practices against another team, and then in the game, our young players got a lot of reps, which was what the goal was.
Jimmy Garoppolo, man, Jimmy G, he's hot, Jonathan.
Jimmy G. Is that what we call him now?
That's what. Yeah.
I thought you had at least played one regular season game before you get a nickname.
Tickets in the pro shop. I mean, this.
You have no idea how much Tangway has been running with this.
Jimmy G, man. You got shirts at the pro shop.
I'm not home at 6:30 at night to watch your great show, so I haven't heard you running with it.
You can on demand, you know, online as well. It's an on demand world.
That's
Gary
true.
Likes Jimmy. Jimmy likes Elaine. Hey, we're not going to go down that road, but kid did play pretty well.
For a preseason game is a great story.
I enjoy watching preseason, not just our team, but all the teams around the league, because around draft time you hear about a lot of guys, and it's not just the ones and the twos, but you hear our guys talk about the people they think are going to be late-round picks, and then it's fun to go watch them play. And it was fun to see Jimmy on the field, and looking forward to hopefully seeing Dominique in the next couple weeks get on the field. And then you see an undrafted kid, a kid we picked up, you know, right as camp was going on, Timms, and watch what he's able to do. So it was fun. It was fun last weekend to do that and to watch some of the guys on the O-line work themselves in. And it was a good 4-day period for us down in Washington.
Is it something that gets discussed at the league levels that to make sure the joint practices don't become bigger in a lot of ways than the preseason games? Because when you're in a game with 65,000 people or however many people you got in the building, the intensity is going to be different. And plus, I have to think that with all of the discussion around preseason games and whether fans value them or not, they still want to see Brady and Revis and people like that and know that some work is actually being done in these preseason games that's meaningful.
No, that's fair, and I think there is a lot of work being done in the games. Look, if Tom Brady wasn't entering his 15th season or whatever it was in the NFL, if this was Tom Brady
year three,
4 years into his career, Bill's the head coach, but I'm pretty sure Tom Brady would have been on the field. When a guy gets to be a certain age, and Tom took a ton of reps, the practices were incredibly productive. I think the idea was Tom performed really well. We want to give his arm a break. It's the first preseason game. But I think these joint practices lead to a buildup that gets kind of exciting with the game. I think that Raiders-Cowboys practice, you know, I think that feeds it. And I think tonight the intensity of what you'll see on the field tonight, which is unscripted, will be at a much higher level than the practices, which are intense, but they're scripted, and it's not the same
thing. I'm glad you used the word scripted, because I know there are a lot of people who were...
Not wrestling scripted.
No, not WWE scripted, but scripted in the
Well, this is what we're working on today.
But it's also
Chip, I need you to do this.
But we also talked about
this
with Garoppolo, that a lot of the throws were to the outside. In practice, you're going to have him throw it over the middle to where he may not look so good because the coaches are trying to get something done on both sides.
You know what I think? That half the battle is with preseason. You know, and when it comes to the X's and O's, I'm not going to pretend to know what you know, but that what you see how guys handle being in a game in preseason. You see bodily behavior. You see the way they act. You see their shoulders, whether they're up, whether they're down. And all I know is Garoppolo, who reportedly had two awful weeks, came into that game, and he grabbed it. And he didn't look afraid. He wasn't scared. He wasn't afraid. And it didn't matter whether he played well or not in the previous practices. You know, I mean, that to me, that's something you look at with players, not just him, but any player. How do they react to the bright lights for the first time?
I think that's true. And I think you only get that in a game situation.
Right.
And That's why you need them. I really believe these joint practices lead to a buildup for the preseason games that makes it more exciting and more interesting.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to add about it, though, from a marketing perspective, and I know what you're talking about, Andy, with the talk about the value of the preseason game, for people that don't have season tickets, for people that can't afford to go to the games, you can go to a work. You can go to practice.
Well,
you can see the Eagles and the Patriots.
You can look. We had 25,000 people or something here on the. Unfortunately, the second one got rained out, and we're going to have our last open practice this Monday. So if you haven't been down this year, please come down. Great chance to see the team, get autographs, have fun.
Right.
But the scrimmages are free. You can get up close and personal to real NFL play that's going on. But now preseason, now that the NFL has variable pricing, our preseason tickets, you can buy tickets to a preseason game now for $30. We don't have a lot of tickets that get made available as individual game tickets because we're effectively sold out with season tickets, and we just hold back a few that are sold as individual game tickets. But this year, for the first time, the preseason ticket pricing is different than the regular season pricing. And if you wanted when the tickets were put up for sale to come and buy tickets to tonight's game, you can do it, I believe, for as cheap as $30 or $35.
Can we talk about this stupid extra point thing? And that's my commentary, not yours, obviously. We had Dean Blandino on earlier.
You're right. I'm glad I told you we'd get you.
You did a good job.
Was he good?
Thank you. Yes, he was great. But he said there's already been 3 missed extra points, and it's like, oh, crap. I hear it going the way of this is going to be permanent. I don't know. What do you make of it?
Have Zolak talk to Bill about it. It was Bill's idea. I personally think it makes sense. I think in professional sports, if you're going to have a scoring play and it's effectively a sure thing, it wasn't set up as a sure thing. It was set up as something that was likely to happen but not meant to be a sure thing. And over time, we've gotten to a point where last year I think there were 1,260-some-odd attempts, and 5 were missed out of 1,260. And you think about the time that gets taken up. You think about just the break in the action. And when you want to watch a competition, you want the drama of the competition. And part of that is things not being a sure thing. So either that or just give 7 points for the touchdown. But to leave the extra point the way it is, I personally think Bill has a point with that.
I mean, the one thing it does do, Andy, is it sets up a situation where you now may be forced to go for 2 where in the past you weren't. It puts more pressure, not necessarily on the kick, but on what could happen down the road later in the game.
Right, and I give coaches, most coaches don't want to add complexity. And I give Bill a lot of credit for thinking about what's right for the game. At that point, it's going to make his life and coaches in general's lives a little more complicated if it happens, like you said, Gary. But it ultimately, I think it's better for the game if we do it, because it shouldn't be that way in sports. It just shouldn't be that way.
All right, going all the way back to 1994, when this organization drafted Christian Peter, and we know what came out of that in terms of the response because of the domestic violence issue that he had in college, and now coming full circle with what happened this offseason with Ray Rice, it's an issue the league needs to deal with. Is it as easy as, here's the policy, players, you're just going to have to adapt? What sort of process has to go on for there to be a policy to even be put in place?
Right. So whether it's domestic violence or anything, if you're going to have a prescribed set of discipline for certain types of violations where players will be suspended, miss paychecks, miss games, you have to collectively bargain that with the union. And so if you don't have that set up, any discipline that gets imposed for any type of offense can be objected to and will go to a special master, and then precedent starts to get created outside of the normal process. So I think clearly the situation of the last summer cries out for a policy, because we have policies in the league for a number of other types of offenses. I think everyone would agree those other offenses are not as egregious as domestic violence.
Right.
And I'm not commenting on the Ray Rice thing because I don't know the details or the facts, but clearly...
No, but it's important to the fans that they know that the league cares enough to put something on paper. I think that's where we're at right now as a society and where this sport is in terms of its popularity.
I can tell you that the commissioner cares deeply. He cares deeply about the game and the shield and our players, and he understands just how visible and how critical all of the employees of the National Football League are in setting a tone societally. And this is a real issue. The commissioner also has a wife and two daughters. And I know he takes it extremely seriously. And I think you will see things evolve on this subject. And it's been something that here at the Patriots, going back to the Christian Peter days, which was our first draft, and we weren't, meaning my family, we weren't sophisticated enough yet related to the draft process to ask the questions about the types of things players had been involved with. It was all new to us. When we found out after the fact, Christian Peter never showed up and had anything to do with our football team. And we make it a policy here every year when we review draft-eligible players. We get into a lot of detail on a lot of situations, but things that relate to domestic violence are just non-starters.
Quickly, Jonathan, it seems to me, though, that even though it has to be collectively bargained, it's very difficult to establish a cookie-cutter system. In other words, Roger has to have some leeway.
There's got to be a sliding scale.
But you can't because of this, it's two games. Each incident is different. The commissioner has to have some leeway and some power to throw the hammer.
Well, and I agree with you.
Right?
It's tough because it's not as easy as a yes or no.
Well, it's not like a drug offense.
Well, the circumstances matter.
Yes.
And what happens in the legal system. It's difficult, but to know that the league is on it and that the Players Association hasn't put up a stop sign and said, no.
Well, they can't.
Well, that's the thing is that the ball is rolling.
Well, they'll get crushed if they do.
No, and I don't think they will. I think Demoris Smith and Roger will have, and I'm sure they've had very productive dialogue on this. And
it's an issue bigger than the game.
Well, we're moving forward, anyways. The NFL has come out; they're obviously doing something about it, and they're moving forward to make it right. Jonathan, the players are getting ready to head in. We're getting ready for kickoff. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Take care, guys.
Jonathan Kraft, president of the New England Patriots, getting you game ready for the Patriots and the Eagles.